Good morning.
Good morning.
Today is Corinthians 13, 1 to 13. If I speak in the tongues of mortal and of angels, but I do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophesied powers, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I have nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease as the knowledge. It will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put the end to the childish ways. Not really. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now my faith, hope, and love abide in these three, and the greatest of these is love. God bless the reading.
Let us pray. Spirit of life and God of love, open our hearts and enter in, that hearing your word of love, we may become your love for others. Amen. I found this passage from Paul to be particularly apropos for this week. I even moved some things around in the lectionary to make sure that we got to it during Valentine's Day. Paul's talking about love, after all. I have a bit of a confession to make. I'm a little cynical about Valentine's Day, and to be honest, probably romantic love in general. Don't get me wrong, I'm always down to celebrate with a fun holiday theme, and I'm in awe of couples who are celebrating those milestone anniversaries. I also enjoy handmade Valentine's cards. I can't resist a good craft. I often exchange cards and other tokens of appreciation with my family and close friends. But all that cheesy, lovey-dovey, romantic stuff, ugh, just leaves me a little nauseated. We're all familiar with this passage. I'm confident in saying that we've all been to a wedding ceremony that includes this passage. I've even been to some secular weddings where a version of this scripture was read. And it's so familiar, both within and outside of the Christian church, that we think we know what the words mean, and we kind of gloss over it, right? Love is patient, love is kind, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, Paul isn't talking about romantic love here. He's not even talking about familial love or the type of love that's shared between friends. Paul is talking about agape. It's this deep, unconditional, life-living love of God. The love that's embodied most visibly in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because love isn't exactly a feeling, it's more of an action. Agape seeks the good of the one who is loved, not its own good. Paul is truly telling us something about God through this letter to the Corinthians. These words arose out of a pastoral crisis in the church of Corinth. I know this church has never experienced anything even remotely similar, so let's just put on our imagination caps and, you know, just for a minute, and we'll sort of go through this. The Corinthians were abusing their freedoms. They were refusing to share. They were putting down their neighbor's gifts while boasting about their own. People were seeking recognition for themselves, even jockeying for like position in the church. The problem wasn't a lack of spiritual gifts. It was the ways in which those gifts were exercised. I'm just thankful to be part of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, where we are perfect, and I'm obviously preaching to the choir here, so. Back in chapter 12 of Corinthians, Paul tells us that all spiritual gifts are manifestations of the Spirit of God. Some people have, you know, been given wisdom, while others have been gifted with healing. Some discern spirits, while others speak in tongues. Paul likens the church to a body of different parts, like a foot or a head or a hand or an eye. And he's saying that the church can't rely exclusively on just one gift. There isn't one gift that's better than another. When we get to chapter 13, Paul lists those gifts the Corinthians were the most proud of. And with each of those gifts, he provides a caveat, but if you don't have love, those gifts are meaningless. It might seem like Paul is saying that love is the highest ranking virtue, maybe even something that we can try to perfect. I mean, that's not quite where he's going. Rather, Paul is saying that love exceeds all of the gifts because love is the source of our gifts. Love is what makes our gifts, our words, and our actions mean something. Whatever you're doing, if you're not doing it out of love, it's nothing. Paul goes on to describe what love is and is not. Because God is love, we can maybe insert the name of Jesus in front of each of the characteristics. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus is not envious or boastful or rude. I got to thinking about this and like, so how do I rate in this? So I tried to put my name in front of some of these things. Kristen is patient. Kristen is kind. I mean, I try to be, but you know what? It's really hard to be kind to someone who's not very kind to themselves. Kristen is not envious. I don't know, it sure would be nice to have the musical talents of Mickey or the financial savvy of Ginny and Carol. Instead, I've got this standing up and talking in front of people thing. Kristen does not insist on her own way. I mean, I was raised as an only child, and I've been living by myself for a really long time, and I like having things my own way. This part of the passage is Paul's way to call the Corinthians to account for their behavior. Much like me, everything he says love is, they are not. Everything he says love is not, they are. I can just imagine the gasps of shock and anger and the murmurs of who does this guy think he is going on throughout the church. It's not only the church in Corinth that needs to look at the less than positive sides of their community. None of us reaches the heights of love that Paul describes. We all have room to grow. And that's normal, because the standard is set by God and made real by Christ. The church is full of diverse people and theological viewpoints and programs and ministries, and most of the time there's room in the church for that diversity to coexist peacefully. But when our resources become scarce, our time, our money, our space, when those resources become scarce, our tensions rise. And we humans have a nasty habit of being rash and insensitive during times of tense situations. Social and cultural concerns tend to press in on our churches especially hard. People become really passionate about all these things. We've certainly seen that happen in this pandemic and over the last 2 years. It's likely that we have the best of intentions when we insist upon our own ways. But Christians have this special gift of cloaking self-interest in self-righteousness. We just know what's right and wrong. This isn't usually my style, but I'm going to be a little bit convicting here. There are just some things that are more important than being right, or powerful, or honored. If those of us within the church don't do what we do in a spirit of love, whether we're inside this building or outside of the walls, then all of our religious talk, all of our knowledge, our piety, sacrificial giving, that adds up to nothing. Without love, we are noisy gongs and clanging cymbals. And when we wonder why people are leaving the church, why there is less involvement in our country and throughout the world, this is honestly one of the biggest reasons why. We're so concerned with being right that we don't fully listen or adequately care for the people that have been deeply wounded by the church and by those self-professed Christians. If we think we have gained anything by standing on principle, dominating others, and being right, we've lost the point, and with it, everything else. To belong in God's church is to be an agent of God's love in the world, not seeking our own advantage, but working on behalf of others. Got a little worked up there. The passage ends with a picture of love's endurance. Every spiritual gift that we have will end. All monuments that we create will crumble. Even human life, that we know it, will end. But here, now, in this life, we are given the opportunity to grow in love from childhood to adulthood and into full spiritual maturity. I think there's a beautiful irony in the fact that the one thing that lasts forever is the love that is given away. We may not be able to make complete sense of all our experiences in this world, but we can trust in the permanence and persistence of God's love lived and experienced in human life. In Christ, believers are known and chosen by divine love. In an anxious world that just grasps for the permanent, the eternal is given through the experience of love. The faithful life is the one that gives testimony in the world, that gives testimony in word and deed to the primacy of love, the character of love, the endurance of love. Because God knows this world is broken and crazy. And God knows that what the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Thanks be to God. Amen.